All of the podcasts here at the Sideshow Network are now at the touch of a button on your iPhone and iPad. With the new Sideshow Network app, tune into all your favorite podcasts here at the Sideshow Network. Go to iTunes App Store, search for Sideshow Network, and download our free app to stream all of your favorite Sideshow Network podcasts at any time you want. The top comedians in the world are at your fingertips with the Sideshow Network app for iPhone and iPad.
So you're thinking about starting a new website. Maybe you have some new small business idea, you want to sell something online, or maybe you want to show off your photography, or maybe you want to start that new podcast to compete with mine. That's a bad idea. No podcast. Stop it. GoDaddy is offering one new or one transfer.com for just $1.99 for the first year. Each new.com comes with a free instant page website and built-in photo album. So really, what are you waiting for? Get your website started today. All right, even if it is a podcast, just get it started now. Go to GoDaddy.com, enter code Alonzo at checkout, or click on the GoDaddy banner on our website. I have nothing to do with Danica Patrick. No, I can't hook you up.
Hi, this is Alonzo Bowden, and I want to welcome you to my podcast, Who's Paying Attention? This is episode 63, and I like to call it Things Ain't Always As They Seem. Let me try that again in English. Things Ain't Always As They Seem. I am still in Canada. I'm on this brilliant tour with Just for Laughs. Tonight, I am in Calgary. And if you hear any background noise, it's because as beautiful as the Fairmont Hotel is in Calgary, there are railroad tracks right behind us, so might be a little background noise. You'll have to forgive that. This tour has been great for the most part. I'll be honest with you, there's one comic who's, I'm not going to name him, but his ego has, how shall I put it, interfered with the peace of the tour, interfered with us getting along. There's nothing worse than a group of people who are equals when one thinks he's a star. But I'm going to let I may refer to that. I don't even know because, you know, egos blow my mind when somebody really believes their own hype. And the odd thing is, in my business, it works. I mean, we know the big examples, Kim Kardashian or Kanye West, they just really think they're that important. And I don't get it. But anyway, let me get away from that, okay? I'm still in Canada. Tomorrow I go back to L.A. That would be on Monday, and I'm recording a new show. It's a game show network show called The Mind of a Man. It's going to be absolutely hilarious. Two female contestants answer questions about men. I'm one of the comics on the panel. It's going to help them. It's going to air next year on the game show network, and you might not know it, but you have the game show network. It's one of those channels up high in the numbers that you never really look at or pay attention to. But trust me, you have Game Show Network. So let me continue here. Let me get started. I'm sorry. I'm goofing around. All right. So this is why I say things aren't always as they seem. And this is why it's interesting that this topic comes up while I'm in Canada, a nation that, as you know, has a national health care policy, and as you also know, God has not destroyed yet. That's Canada. Well, he hasn't destroyed the health care policy either, so I don't know. Maybe they're wrong. A friend of mine and a brilliant, hilarious comic, a guy named Tom Papa, he knows I like to do topical stuff, and he asked me an interesting question, and it was actually very simple. He said, why have people decided after 1 month that Obamacare is a failure? Like, we are trying to change the healthcare system of the nation, and after 1 month, it is deemed a failure. That doesn't make any sense on any logical level. And he's right. And I thought about it, and I kind of laughed, because he is absolutely right. It's only been a month. Now, the rollout of the website has been horrific. It's an embarrassment to the administration. It has made it difficult for people to get insurance, to find out information. The states that use their own exchanges, like California and New York and some others, have had a greater response. But on a nationwide level, it's been, the federal level, I should say, it's been a mess. And I joke about it because it is a federal program, therefore it's expected to be a mess. But all kidding aside, it is. But here's the thing. This is why it's deemed a failure. This is where the problem lies. And let's just call this a minor bit of overstatement, okay? Now, this is out of the New York Times, supposedly the liberal paper. This is on, these are the people who support Barack Obama. And they actually had this in an op-ed piece, in an editorial. They started out talking about George Bush and Katrina and what a mess Katrina was and how much it hurt George Bush in his second term, sinking credibility, fractured world relations, revolts within his own party, etc. Now, this I'm reading from the article. President Obama is now threatened by a similar toxic mix. The disastrous rollout of his health care law not only threatens the rest of his agenda, but also raises questions about his competence, the same way that the Bush administration's botched response to Hurricane Katrina undermined any semblance of Republican efficiency. Okay, so what they're doing here is comparing a difficult website to government inaction as 1,800 people died and tens of thousands were left homeless. It's the same thing. That is ridiculous. That is the problem. When you talk about overstating, oversimplifying, when you talk about something not being what it, let me tell you, on no level, and I'm not defending Barack Obama here. I'm not, ooh, everything he does is right. On no level can you compare difficulty of getting health care to Hurricane Katrina. As a matter of fact, I would say the lack of health care is more like Katrina. The fact that we have 5 million people with no health insurance, that's a crisis along the lines of Katrina. And here's why I say that, because it's a third world situation, right? We remember what New Orleans looked like after Katrina. It looked like an impoverished third world nation. Houses underwater, people living in literally in squalor, people, the Superdome becoming a giant refugee camp. It looked like another country. And 5 million people not having health insurance, not being able to go to the doctor when they're sick, unless they go to an emergency room, which is not a healthcare policy. That's more of a comparison than Katrina. Katrina, that, stop it. It's a website that's not working. They're going to work the bugs out. It's going to take some time. You know, when a nation started Social Security, it didn't work in a month. It took a while before the system worked. But you know what happened? People got used to it, and it did work. So this is a ridiculous comparison, an overstatement, and adds to the problem. You know, this is politics, this electionary. It's the same as Katrina. You guys picked on Bush, but you're not picking on Obama. Last I checked, 1,800 people didn't die, and 10,000 people weren't homeless because the website was slow. Okay, stop it. It's not the same thing. Utterly ridiculous. Okay, incompetent administration, bad decisions. Yes, yes, that was true. That's true. But to compare it, okay, maybe it's me. I don't know, but I'm saying it's not the same thing. Things ain't always as they seem. Continuing with my theme of things ain't always as they seem, and I'll probably talk. The healthcare thing just bothers me so much because I'm up here in Canada where they have a healthcare system, and it seems to work. Is it perfect? No. Is any system perfect? No. Do we need a system? Yes. So let's look at the politics. Let's look at politicians. Let's look at things ain't always as they seem. Chris Christie. Chris Christie is, unicorn? Maybe the biggest, world's biggest leprechaun, perhaps. Chris Christie is something that you just don't see. And even when you see it, you don't believe it. What is Chris Christie? Chris Christie is a moderate Republican. That's right, kids. I hope you're sitting down. He's a Republican governor that actually worked with Barack Obama. Now, getting back to that Katrina thing, you know the biggest problem with Barack Obama's agenda? Congress. The Congress that will vote against anything he says. If we really wanted something to happen, for instance, gun control. Here's one of those trains. Sorry about that. If you really wanted gun control, all Barack Obama would have to do is come out and say, every American should have a gun. Congress would have a gun control package so fast it'd make the founding fathers' heads spin. So now, here we have Chris Christie, and the Republican Party's not sure what to do with this guy, because Chris Christie is reasonable. See, that's the problem they have. Chris Christie is reasonable. Chris Christie is a guy that, you know, he works with people from the other side. He understands that working people whose houses are destroyed in a natural disaster might need help. It's come up a couple of times. Chris Christie had to deal with Hurricane Sandy. Chris Christie had to deal with a major fire on the boardwalk. And Chris Christie got reelected. Chris Christie got supported by Shaq. I don't know what that means, but it certainly isn't anything you would have guessed. So Chris Christie's thinking about becoming president in 2016. And here's the thing. They're saying it won't happen. You know why? Because of Iowa. And we all know that the how it starts, right? They have these caucuses in Iowa and South Carolina, and you got to win those. Well, Chris Christie's not going to win Iowa because Iowa likes the crazies. Iowa likes the Tea Parties. The sort of candidates Iowa Republicans like, I'm reading from an article written by Richard Cohen, an opinion writer for the Washington Post, and I'm going to give you something on this. When they say things are super liberal, like the Times and the Washington Post, I'm going to tell you why they're not, okay? So Richard Cohen went to Iowa. They talked about the Iowa Republicans, and you know who the Iowa Republicans like? They like Ted Cruz. You remember Ted Cruz, the engineering of the shutdown of the government guy. And they like Mike Lee of Utah, who is even farther right than Cruz. They like Governor Rick Perry. You remember Governor Rick Perry from Texas? He already ran once. It didn't rain. He prayed. Paul Ryan of Wisconsin. You remember Paul Ryan? He wanted to be the vice president. Then he had a debate with Joe Biden, and Joe Biden spanked him like a little boy. You remember him? He was all with Ayn Rand. And then they told him Ayn Rand doesn't believe in Jesus. And he flipped. And of course, who do they really love in Iowa? Sarah Palin. Need I say more? Okay, so Richard Cohen's point, and the point made over and over, you're not going to win the Republicans unless you have the Tea Party backing. And none of these Republicans are like Christie. They don't like Christie. Christie is reasonable. Christie is sane. Christie doesn't hate minorities. Christie does everything wrong. But here's the thing about Richard Cohen, the guy who wrote this article, and this is why I say that, you know, they say it's liberal, but it's not. Okay. So this is him writing. Today's GOP is not racist, as Harry Belafonte alleged. Now, the interesting thing about the Republicans is we're not racist, but all racists happen to be Republican. Just one of those things. But then he wrote, anyway, let me get back to it. I'm sorry, let me focus. Sorry, the train's annoying me. Today's GOP is not racist, as Harry Belafonte alleged about the Tea Party, but it is deeply troubled about the expansion of government, immigration, secularism, the mainstreaming of what used to be the avant-garde, blah, blah, blah. Now, here's my problem. He wrote, people with conventional views must repress a gag reflex when considering the mayor-elect of New York, Bill de Blasio, is a white man married to a black woman with two biracial children. See, here's the phrase, people with conventional views. In other words, white men, right? That's what he's saying. He's saying that the only conventional views are those of white men and that they're going to have a problem. Obviously, well, they'd have a problem with the mayor of New York. Listen, they had a problem with the mayor of New York when he was a rich white man, okay? So you know they're going to have a problem when it's a working-class white man married to a black woman. But why is that conventional, all right? Let's stop that. Stop calling that conventional. Conventional family is a family that loves each other. Conventional family is a family that works together. You know what a conventional family isn't? A bunch of closed-minded bigots like the Tea Party. I'll say it over and over. You tell me the Tea Party's not racist, I say this. Why, the day after the black president was elected, did they start yelling, "Give us our country back"? It is racist. And this guy, as liberal as he might be, and his point is correct, that these Tea Party Republicans would never go for Chris Christie, but when you call their views conventional, then you're as bad as they are, okay? It's not what it seems. Now, let's take that a step farther. And this one, I don't know whether to love or hate this story, but I tell you what, this story is from Texas, because only in Texas could some shit like this happen. In Texas, a white man won an election by pretending to be a black man. That's right. There's a small, this is one of those weird elections that you're supposed to vote on. It's always on the ballot, and you never know who to vote for, so you just check a box because you like the sound of the name, or maybe you saw one ad. This is about getting on the community college council in a district in Houston. Now, this guy, Dave Wilson, is a white, anti-gay, Is it Tea Party? I don't know what it is. It's one of those guys. You know the type. He's anti-gay. He's against minorities, blah, blah, blah. This is America, blah, blah, blah. You know the type, okay? So he wants to get elected, but the problem is the district he's running for this community college thing on is mostly black. So here's what he did. He never let them see his face. He sent out flyers with photographs of smiling African Americans with the caption, "Please vote for our friend and neighbor, Dave Wilson." Where'd he get the pictures? Off the internet. In a mailer, he said he was endorsed by Ron Wilson. Now, many people in Houston would think that was a state representative who was named Ron Wilson, who happened to be a black man. But the fine print under the headline said, "Ron Wilson and Dave Wilson are cousins." He was talking about his cousin living up in Iowa. He won the election, and he won it by 26 votes. And now that he's on this Houston Community College Council, you know, who knows what he's going to do. So there's two problems to this. One, did the black people vote for him just because they thought he was black? Probably. And if that's the case, that's bad. But the other side of it is he knew that and he pretended to be black. So my solution would be, let's treat him like he's black. First, we'll have the cops take a few shots at his teenage sons, okay? Because that's being black in America. Then, you know, we'll have the cops pull him over because he happened to be in the wrong neighborhood. And finally, since it's Texas, we're going to make it really hard for him to vote. How about that? Next time you show up at those polls, you better be ready to answer some questions and have some obscure state ID that we're going to make it difficult for you to get as possible. You want to pretend to be black? Come on, go all the way. Be black. Put up with it. Deal with it. And I'm not saying that life is hard for every black person in America, but you know what I'm saying. Yeah, racism's gone. Right. Yeah, sure. So I think that's it. I think if he got the benefit of winning because he was black, he should have to deal with the things, you know. Try to go get a loan, my friend. All right, moving on. A couple other things that not what they seem. You're a waitress. You work for tips. And after a family with a check for $95 leaves and there's a little slip of paper in that leather folder on the table, you think it's a tip, and it is. It's a lifestyle tip. This actually happened. This is just embarrassing as a human being, honestly. That as a human being, this story is embarrassing. You know what the tip was? This family, they were at a restaurant, checked $93.55, thought it was a tip, and they wrote a note, and it said, "I'm sorry, but I cannot tip because I do not agree with your lifestyle and how you live your life." You see, the waitress has short hair. You know what that means. She's gay. That's right. She's gay. So we can't, oh my God, we can't tip her. Do you believe that? You believe it's sad, but it's true. Yeah, the waitress, Miss Morales, 22, is an ex-Marine. And that's what's really funny, because these family value people support our troops. And this woman's an ex-Marine, but she has short hair, so she might be gay. I don't even know if she is or if she's not. When she introduced herself to the family at the table, they looked at her and said, oh, I thought you were going to say your name is Dan. You surprised us. And Morales, she didn't respond because she didn't think they wouldn't leave a tip. And she's a waitress, so you got to put up with stupid people. So it's sad, but the nice thing about what she posted it on a website called Have a Gay Day on Facebook, which is great. And the nice thing is the manager of her restaurant said that that family will not be welcome in his restaurant again. So good for him. You know, it's sad. Here's another one. Chelsea Welch, a server at a St. Louis Applebee's, posted a receipt on Reddit that was left by a pastor. He was with a large group, and he wrote, I give God 10%. Why do you get 18? Well, pastor, she gets 18 because that's standard, because it's what people do. Check your Bible. See if there's something in there about, oh, I don't know, generosity, about helping others, about maybe helping people who have less than you. That's why you tip 18%, you cheap bastard. You're an embarrassment to the cloth, and you should be ashamed of yourself. So now, you servers, God bless you, because you people work hard. I eat out all the time, and I see what you guys put up with. Now, when you open that little envelope and you think there's a tip in there, maybe it's a lifestyle tip. I don't approve of your lifestyle. It literally is a shame to be a human, okay? Now, speaking of a shame to be human, Melissa Bachman, and then before I continue, no, she's not related to Michelle, but that's what you would think. That obviously, that's what you would think. Melissa Bachman has this television show about hunting, and she posted a picture. She was so proud of herself. She posted a picture on Facebook and Twitter of her standing over a lion with her rifle. She was so proud of her hunt. She killed a lion. And I was going to finish with this, but I'll give it to you right now. She tweeted, incredible day in South Africa. Stalked inside 60 yards on this beautiful male lion. What a hunt. Ricky Gervais had the most brilliant tweet when he said, notice the typo. First of all, you're not a hunter because this was done on one of these game preserves, which is where, you know, basically you trap it. The animal's trapped and you go out and you shoot it. The beauty of it, she got so many, like they hit her Facebook and Twitter so hard, she had to shut down all of her social media. And now there's a petition going on to never let her in South Africa again. Now there's growth. South Africa, a country which once embraced apartheid, will now want to get rid of this psycho who likes killing large animals because they exist. She's a hardcore huntress, and she has pictures of all these animals that she's killed, like, you know, zebras and crocodiles and ibex and water buffalo. Why'd she kill them? Because they were there. This person actually goes around the world just to kill animals because they exist. That's amazing to me. And I'm a hunter. No, you're a piece of shit. You're a piece of shit as a person, all right? You're horrible, and the fact that this is encouraged and on TV shows, once again, there is no bottom in our society. So kudos to Africa. Ricky Gervais, you're a genius. What a tweet. And I'm glad she got shut down. I'm glad she put it out there, what a horrible person she is, and everyone responded by letting her know you're a horrible person. So good for us. What isn't as it seems? Her name's Bachman, and she's not related to Michelle. She's from Minnesota. I'd have sworn. I think I'm more scared because there's two of these families going on. Things that aren't as they seem. Your gadget is not what you thought it was, because they told you that your iPad, your Android, your Nook, your smartphone, you could control an airplane. If you had it on during takeoff and landing, you could bring the plane down. And now, as we all know, they're changing the ban, and you can read on your iPad, you can read on your tablet, you can read on your as the plane is taking off and landing. You know why? Because it was never any danger, because we all knew that was ridiculous. If you could imagine if you could bring down a phone with your iPhone, bring down a plane with your iPhone. As a matter of fact, you know what? I want an app. I want an app for my iPad that allows me to control the 757 that I'm flying on. You said I could do it. Now I want to do it. So they're finally going to let us use gadgets from gate to gate. You'll be able to read and write and type. You won't be able to make phone calls. And we can't have phone calls on planes because we deal with that just while the door is open. And you know how annoying it is when that jerk off next to you thinks he's so important that he has to talk loudly into his phone. I'll quote something that's gone around a million times, so I don't even know who to attribute the quote to. But if you're ever outside and someone on their cell phone, or God forbid, in an airplane confined space where you have to listen to this asshole, and like, can I get a little privacy? No, you're in public. All right, so we will be able to use our gadgets. We're not bringing down the plane. And if they say you missed the safety instructions, you aren't listening to the safety instructions anyway, right? Because somehow you knew coming from 30,000 feet, when you hit the ocean, that little life jacket ain't going to make much difference. Maybe it'll make it easy to find what's left of you. Sorry, people, didn't mean to get graphic, but we're not that stupid. Finally, things that aren't what they used to be. Life ain't all bad, and we're not all cynics. The most beautiful story I read this week, and maybe the most beautiful story of the year, Bat Kid. Have you heard about Bat Kid? Bat Kid is a kid from Northern California who has leukemia. He's 5 years old, and through the Make-A-Wish Foundation, he got to dress up as Bat Kid, and he got to save people from the Riddler and the Penguin around the city of San Francisco. They converted two black Lamborghinis into Batmobiles. They drove Bat Kid around the city. They had a woman tied up on the streetcar tracks with something strapped to her back. Bat Kid saved her. Bat Kid helped the police arrest the Penguin. Everybody helped in on this. The police were in on it, the commissioner. They had a special newspaper, the Gotham City Journal, with Bat Kid on the cover. Of course, the story was written by Clark Kent. And over 12,000 people in San Francisco hit the streets to cheer for Bat Kid. How great is that? How great is that, that a city could come together and make a kid's dream come through? The kid's leukemia is in remission. God bless him. We hope that he lives a long and healthy life. But can you imagine how good every one of those 12,000 people and the Make-A-Wish Foundation and the police and that whoever did the cars and to save a 5-year-old kid to make a dream come true? That's the hope for our society, people. You know I'm one of the cynics. You know I make fun of us, but we created Bat Kid. And if we can create a city for Bat Kid to save, then maybe health care for poor people isn't such a sin. I wish us luck. All right, I'm signing off. Love you guys. Thanks for listening.